reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning I'd like to talk with you about mountains and valleys. You know those mountaintop experiences in our lives when we're riding high and life is good and all is right with the world? And also those valleys in our lives when we deal with suffering and pain and disappointment. But I'd like to specifically talk to you about three things. First, about this hilltop in Nutley. Second, about the experience that Jesus had with the apostles in the transfiguration that we just heard in the gospel. And then lastly, as I so often like to do, I'd like to share with you a story. You know, one of the things that still amazes me about where we live is our close proximity to New York City. It's a city that's known all over the world as the center of art and fashion and culture. And some think of New York City as the financial capital of the world. And I think sometimes we take for granted the greatness of this city because we live so close. But one thing that's still so breathtaking to me is the view of the skyline of New York City from this small little hilltop in Nutley, very close to where I grew up. As you're making your way up the hill, you see nothing. And then when you reach the summit of the hill, you see New York City in front of you in all of its color and all of its glory. It's so great to spend some time on the top of that small hill, to see this metropolis with all its people and with all that's going on there. It leaves me mesmerized every single time. And eventually I have to descend from the top of that hill, and then I return to the streets that I know so well, and life returns to normal. I see the buildings and the houses that I've seen all my life, the memories, both good and bad. But to be on the top of that hill is just so breathtaking, even if it's just for a few moments. And when I continue off the top of that hill, I drive to get onto Route 21, and I drive through a section of Nutley that's actually called the Valley. You know, when I have this experience on that little hilltop, I think of the experience of Jesus and the apostles with Jesus' transfiguration that we just heard about. You know, the apostles had been with Jesus throughout his ministry. They had seen his miracles. They had witnessed his preaching. But they still didn't understand what was going to occur. They still didn't understand what would happen after Jesus' death and resurrection. So Jesus took them up. He took them to the top of a mountain, and he revealed his glory to them. The gospel tells us when they get to the top of the mountain, Jesus prayed, and his face changed in appearance, and his clothes became dazzling white. And then a cloud came, and it cast a shadow over them, and a voice came from the cloud that said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And after that, after they had seen Jesus in his risen glory, after they heard the voice of God coming from that cloud, they didn't stay on the top of that mountain forever where they witnessed such a glorious spectacle. They descended from that mountaintop and life went on. For Jesus, the transfiguration was such a turning point in his life. At that point, everything had been onward and upward. People were astonished and captivated by his preaching and by his miracles. Now he must descend from that mountain to the valley, to the road to Gethsemane and to Calvary. But the transfiguration gave Jesus a foretaste of his glory. And in the joy of that consolation, Jesus is able to endure the cross and to despise the shame. For the apostles, it was such an awe-inspiring experience. You see, they never saw their master like that before. And Peter, filled with this consolation of the joy that he was experiencing, said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let me build a tent for us so we can stay here indefinitely, or maybe just for a little while." And who could blame him? On that mountaintop, they didn't want to leave. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was arrested, they all fled. And you know, you and I, we can all identify with the apostles, because in our own mountaintop experiences, we want to stay forever. We don't want to leave. And then in the moments of trial, in the moments of suffering in our lives, we all want to flee. But you see, God never meant for us to stay on the top of that mountain always in our lives. And sometimes we meet God in the darkest and the deepest of valleys. In the darkest moments, when we face struggles that are beyond our abilities. Any one of us who have met God in the valley know how precious those moments are. Maybe it's in the death of a loved one, when we rely upon the promises of God and his promises of life after death, and that takes hold of our souls. Or maybe it's with a loved one who's sick, and we know that God will take care of them. Or how about when we reach the end of our abilities and we can't deal with the struggles of life alone? So we give it over to God, we let go, and we allow God to carry us through. We come to a deeper conversion as God touches our souls and as God brings light into the darkness. Remember, mountains or valleys, God is always with us. So what's our transfiguration? How do we experience what the apostles experienced in the gospel that we just heard? You see, this mass that we celebrate this morning, this is our mountaintop experience that allows us and prepares us for the struggles of our day. And then the joy of the consolation of celebrating the Eucharist this morning, we say with Peter, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." And we want to stay, but it's not so. In a few minutes, you'll hear the words, "The Mass is ended, go in peace." And then we pick up our crosses and we walk towards the doors of the church and we go out into the world and we face the struggles of our day. But having been to the top of the mountain, we know that nothing could separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ. Ups and downs in our lives, God is always with us, always. So now a story. It's the story of Rich. Rich came to speak to us in the seminary when I was in my third year of studies. And his talk was on redemptive suffering. Rich talked about the times that he had those mountaintop experiences at one point of his life when he had all the blessings that one could ask for. And then he talked about the experiences of his life when he was in the deepest and darkest of valleys. But Rich also talked to us about knowing God as the constant source of strength throughout it all. Rich is a husband and a father. Rich has 12 children, and he has 12 grandchildren. He had a good job, and he was involved in his family's lives. He loved his life, and he had every good blessing that God could provide. But in 2005, Rich was struck with a debilitating disease. His fever spiked to a high of 108, his circulatory system and his lungs shut down. The doctors advised his family that he would not live. and that the good part of his brain, the brain that controls memory and feelings, would be wiped away. 3 months into his 6-month coma, Rich woke up. He looked around the room and he saw his wife. He said, "I love you, Maggie." And then he went back into his coma. Rich was still expected not to survive, and he came close to death many times. But then Rich started to improve. At the utter astonishment of his doctors and of his family, Rich came back from his unconsciousness, and he slowly awoke. But his recovery did not come without complications. Although he didn't lose his memory, he needed a kidney transplant, and he lost both of his arms and his legs because of muscle atrophy. Rich's life changed unexpectedly. He was this strong, vibrant person, and now he couldn't walk in the forest that he liked to walk in so often. He couldn't take a stroll with his wife and his children. He couldn't swim in the ocean that he enjoyed so much. Putting on socks and shoes was no longer necessary. And when I heard this man speak, I expected to hear him talk about the fear that he had in what was to come. But in hearing Rich talk about the future, there's no fear. There's only hope. God came to him when he was in the deepest and darkest of valleys, and he sees God every day in his life and in the life of all those who he meets. He understands that it is illness and the pain that he feels. It brings him closer to the sufferings of Christ. And he told us that he does not carry his cross. His cross carries him. He experienced some very dark moments in these recent years, but he said that God was always with him in his suffering. God never abandoned him, and he awaits with joyful anticipation of what's to come. So, if there's nothing else that you take from this homily this morning, remember this. Whatever you've been through, whatever you're going through, whatever you're going to go through, mountains or valleys, God is always with us. Always. And just one final thought. You know, God presents us with opportunities so many times to see his redemptive love for us and how he works in our lives, even in the most difficult times of our lives. Our parish is offering this wonderful parish mission that starts tonight through Tuesday. And it's a wonderful time to see God's presence in our lives, in our difficulties, but also in our joys. And the speaker at this parish mission is a wonderful speaker. Her name is Diane Trafflett. She's a professor at Seton Hall. She was my professor when I was in the seminary. She's a faith-filled woman, which really can add a lot to our Lenten journey together. And I'm not just saying that because she gave me a good grade. But really, if you could, please join us tonight, tomorrow night, and Tuesday night. It'll be worth it. God bless you all. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.